الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى ولنختم الكتاب بذكر مسألة عظيمة مهمة تفهم بما تقدم ولكن نفرد لها الكلام لعظم شأنها ولكثرة الغلط فيها. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that we will close this book. We will close the book by mentioning an important, a major important issue, an important and major issue, mas'ala, which is understood from that which has preceded, but we will discuss it individually here because of its great importance, because of its great importance and status, and because of the many mistakes that occur with regards to this issue. And after discussing these doubts that the mushrikun they have with regards to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone with no partners, and that all aspects of worship should be dedicated and devoted to Allah sincerely and purely and entirely from every aspect, and to direct any aspect of worship to others besides Allah is considered shirk and paganism and polytheism. After discussing these issues and clarifying these doubts and emphasizing the great right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone with no partners, now after understanding this affair from a knowledge-based aspect, one must realize the obligation of applying that knowledge in one's life daily. Of applying that knowledge of one's life daily and devoting their self entirely to Allah and making the worship inwardly and outwardly for the sake of Allah alone. So it's not sufficient to learn about Tawheed. No doubt the knowledge of a Tawheed is Tawheed, but that knowledge will not benefit until it is applied. Until it is applied, and the knowledge of a Tawheed is intended in order to be applied. And this is the reality of a tawheed. No doubt it consists of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the intent from that knowledge is to surrender and to submit to Allah in compliance and in obedience inwardly and outwardly. So the author, he says, فَنَقُولُ, so we say about this important issue, لَا خِلَافَ أَنَّ التَّوْحِيدَ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ بِالْقَلْبِ وَاللِّسَانِ وَالْعَمَلِ. There's no difference that a tawheed means to single out Allah alone for all of his rights, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his right in the rububiyyah and his rights with regards to his asma'i wa sifat, and with regards to his right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in al-uluhiyyah, and that he should be worshipped alone with no partners, subhanahu wa ta'ala. La khilafa anna tawheed. There's no difference that it tawheed. La budda an yakuna bil qalbi wal lisani wal amal. That it must be by way of the heart and the tongue and by action. That a tawheed, it must be by way of the heart and by the tongue and by the action. And we know the issue of al-iman. Al-iman, qawlun wa amalun wa i'tiqad. Qawlun wa amalun wa i'tiqad. That iman, sincere faith, is a statement. Statement on the tongue and actions on the body parts, and a creed and belief in the heart. Yazidu bi ta'ati wa yanqusu bil ma'siyah. That it increases. It increases with obedience and it decreases with disobedience. So the issue of iman and tawheed is revolving around these affairs here. The creed in the heart, which is the foundation, and likewise the statement on the tongue, which must be pronounced and announced outwardly, and as well actions on the limbs and body parts. And as well actions on the limbs and body parts. Actions on the limbs and body parts. So the one who is able to pronounce the statement of a tawheed, he must pronounce that. The one who is able to pronounce the statement of al-tawheed, he must pronounce that. He must announce that. It must be stated out loud. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, that testimony will not benefit except if one knows what they're testifying to and understands that properly and believes wholeheartedly and sincerely in their heart. And believes wholeheartedly and sincerely in their heart, and still likewise, this will not benefit until he establishes the minimum requirements of that which that statement and creed necessitates from action and application. From action an application. We have seen in our previous classes that for the iman to be considered correct, there is a minimum requirement that one must believe in. That is in the pillars of faith. Al-Imanu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa al-yawm al-akhir wa al-Imanu bil-qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. That this is the minimum amount of faith for a person's Islam to be considered correct. And also there is a minimum amount of actions as well for the Islam to be correct. There's a minimum amount of iman that a believer, he must obtain, he must fulfill these rites for his Islam to be correct. And also there is a minimum amount of actions that he must implement and apply and abide by in his life daily for his Islam to be correct. And from that is to leave off paganism and shirk and turn away from worshiping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart or with his tongue or with his limbs and body parts. So a person, he will not be a believer, he will not be a mu'min, he will not have iman, he will not be a Muslim, he will not be in the fold of al-Islam, he will not be a muwahid, he will not have a tawheed until these affairs are gathered, until he has a tawheed wal iman, and the statements of and al-Islam, and this issue of the religion is apparent, is residing in his heart and apparent on his tongue and in his actions and body parts. It's residing in his heart and is apparent on his tongue and his actions and body parts. As for the violation of that or leaving the fold of al-Iman, then it will occur by one of these ways, either by a creed and belief or doubts that invalidate the religion, or by statements that invalidate the religion, or by actions with the limbs and body parts that will invalidate the religion, any meaning from its foundation. So before a person, he has iman and the tawheed, and he's considered a Muslim in the fold of al-Islam, he must gather these affairs here. But as for falling out of the fold of al-Islam, he does not have to gather all of the affairs of disbelief. Rather, one of them will violate his religion. These affairs that have proceeded. So now the discussion is to emphasize the importance of applying the knowledge of a tawheed in one's life. Applying the knowledge of a tawheed in one's life. So he says again, لَا خِلَافَ أَنَّ التَّوْحِيدَ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ بِالْقَلْبِ وَاللِّسَانِ وَالْعَمَلِ. There's no difference that a tawheed, it must be by way of the tongue. It must be by way of the heart and the tongue and the actions. فَإِنْ اخْتَلَّ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ هَذَا لَمْ يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ Musliman. And if something was deficient, invalid with regards to this, then a person, he will not be a Muslim. فَإِنْ عَرَفَ التَّوْحِيدُ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ مُعَانِدٌ كَفِرْعَوْنَ وَإِبْلِيسَ وَأَمْثَالِهِمَا. So if a person, he knows التوحيد but he does not apply it, then he is a disbeliever in stubborn opposition. And he in rejection and denial, like Fir'aun and Iblis and the likes of them. Fir'aun, he knew the truth. He knew that Musa was the messenger of Allah, but he rejected faith and he denied. And likewise Iblis, he knows the truth that Allah is the Lord of the worlds, but he rejected and denied faith. Aba wastakbara. He rejected and was arrogant and refused to submit and to surrender. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about Fir'aun, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَصَائِرٍ. That indeed you know, Fir'aun, that no one revealed this, that no one sent this down or revealed this except for the Lord of the heavens and the earth as basair, signs and clear signs and insight and guidance. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about Iblis. That Iblis, he said, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ. He swore by the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he would mislead mankind. So this is an affirmation of a tawheed. بِعِزَّتِكَ. He swore by the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. That I will mislead all of them. So here Iblis, he's confessing to the might of Allah Azza wa Jal and to the power and authority of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even he says, Rabbi bima aghwaytani. Rabbi, he's calling on Allah. Oh my Lord, calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi bima aghwaytani. And so
The point is that Iblis, he's confessing to the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he realizes the lordship of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and his beautiful names and attributes, swearing by his might and his honor. And likewise, he knows the right to be worshipped, but أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He rejected and denied, and he was arrogant and too proud to submit and to surrender, and therefore he was from the disbelievers. So the point the author is saying now again, فَإِنْ عَرَفَ التَّوْحِيدَ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ مُعَانِدٌ كَفِيرٌ عَوْنَ وَإِبْلِيسَ وَأَمْثَالِهِمَا. And if a person, he knows the Tawheed, but he does not apply it, is a disbeliever and stubborn rebellion, like Fir'aun and like Iblis and the likes of those two, and the likes of them. And the likes of them, meaning also from like the Yahud and the likes. He's going to mention them specifically. I mean the Jews as well. They knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the Prophet, but they rejected and denied faith out of stubborn rebellion, and also out of animosity and jealousy and arrogance. وليعذ بالله. So the Shaykh, he says, وَهَذَا يَغْلَطُ فِيهِ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا حَقٌّ وَنَحْنُ نَفْهَمُ هَذَا وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ وَلَكِنْ لَا نَقْدِرُ أَن نَفْعَلَهُ وَلَا يَجُوزُ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ بَلَدِنَا إِلَّا مَنْ وَافَقَهُمْ وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ مِّنَ الْعَذَارِ. It says, And many people err with regards to this. And they say this is the truth. And the Tawheed, that Allah, he should be worshipped alone with no partners. They say this is the truth. And we understand this. And we bear witness that this is the truth. But we're not able to apply it. But we're not able to do it. It's not permissible with the people. It's not allowed with the people in our land to do anything except that which is in accordance to what they're upon. And they make excuses from the likes of this. So sometimes we'll find that this will happen. A person, he will grow up maybe in a land where paganism and polytheism is prevalent. And even maybe they ascribe this to Al-Islam, like in lands where the graves are worshipped often, where grave worship is something widespread and accepted in society, even considered that this is the true reality of Al-Islam. In some communities, worshipping the graves and calling on the awliya besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In many countries and many cities and lands, you will rarely find a masjid that does not have a grave in it. And you will not be able to go to a masjid throughout the land and in the city except there's a grave in it, being worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will favor one of those individuals who grew up in the society following this way of his forefathers, which is in contradiction to the foundation of the religion of the prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, he will be guided to the da'wah of at-tawheed, and he will hear that, and he will see the evidence and proofs for that in the Quran and the Sunnah and in the creation around him, and he will understand that properly, but then he will not implement that. He will not implement that and apply that. And then he will not implement that and apply that in a manner that is required, because he's afraid that the people will not like him anymore, or he will lose his job, or he will lose his position, or he will lose his wife, or he will, or other harms will occur to him in the dunya, that he will be considered an outcast in the society, or that they will harm him and the likes like this. He will say, yes, I understand that. Yes, this is true. And this is correct. Tawheed, this is something very nice and good. Shirk, this is foul and lowly. I understand the issues that you're discussing, but in my lands, this is what they do, and this is what my forefather do. And if I were to oppose them, then they will consider me an outcast. Or they will call me a Wahhabi, or they will do this, or they will do that. Or maybe I will lose my job, or maybe I'll lose my position. I will not be the ruler anymore. I will not be able to have a big home anymore. Or I will not be able to have a good job anymore. Or they're not going to like me anymore. And the likes like this, this is what will prohibit them. And these are the excuses that some of them, they make. This is the excuses that some of them, they make, that they're going to take some type of harmful loss in the worldly life. These excuses are not accepted. These excuses are not accepted. And this knowledge here, this knowledge will not benefit them. This knowledge that they confess to and that they realize and understand the reality of at-tawheed and the true meaning of La ilaha illallah will not benefit them until they comply to that and they apply that in their life. So these are not lawful excuses. Rather, these are from the reasons people are turned away from the true religion and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam truthfully and complying to Allah with tawheed. We will discuss some of these affairs, the things that distract and turn the people away from the pure religion and the true understanding. He says, وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ الْمِسْكِينُ أَنَّ غَالِبَ أَئِمَّةِ الْكُفْرِ يَعْرِفُونَ الْحَقِّ. And this poor person does not realize that the majority of the leaders of disbelief, they know the truth. وَلَمْ يَتْرُكُوهُ إِلَّا لِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْعَذَارِ. And that they themselves did not leave the truth except for something from these types of excuses. And they realize the truth and they understand the truth and they reject it or deny it or turn away from it and do not apply it, not because of ignorance, not because of not understanding, not because of denying the truth in essence, but rather denying to abide by it and to apply it and uphold it in application because of these excuses from the worldly affairs. كما قال تعالى, just as Allah, the Most High, He says, اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا. They purchase with the verses of Allah a cheap and miserable price. ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. A cheap and miserable price. Yani because they know the truth and they realize the truth, but they turn away from that and do not apply it, afraid to lose their position and status in the worldly life. وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. And other than that from the verses likewise. And there are a number of verses clarifying this affair. كَقَوْلِهِ. Like the statement of Allah the Most High. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know Him like they know their own sons. They know Him. Any meaning the Jews. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the messenger of Allah. They know that the way they know their own sons. The way that they know that this child is so and so, the son of so and so, then so and so, the son of so and so, and this is from their sons, from their lineage. They know likewise with this level of certainty that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But they rejected faith and they refused to surrender and to submit to that. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know Him as they know their own children. So this knowledge did not benefit them whenever they rejected to bow down, whenever they rejected to surrender and to comply in obedience to that which that requires and necessitates. So He says, فَإِنْ عَمِلَ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ عَمَلًا ظَاهِرًا وَهُوَ لَا يَفْهَمُ وَلَا يَعْتَقِدُ بِقَلْبِهِ فَهُ مُنَافِقٌ. This is another aspect. And if he were to apply the tawheed in application outwardly, but he does not understand, nor does he believe properly with his heart, then he's a hypocrite. فَهُوَ مُنَافِقٌ. So the first one, he knows the truth and understands it in his heart and realizes it, but he does not apply it. So he is a disbeliever. A clear disbeliever. Kufrun wadihun, very clear in his disbelief. Waliyadhu billah. As for the second case, someone who outwardly applies the tawheed, but he does not understand it properly. And he does not believe it. He does not believe in it correctly in his heart. فَهُوَ مُنَافِقٌ. So this one is a hypocrite. وَشَرٌّ مِنَ الْكَافِرِ الْخَالِصِ. And he is worse and more evil than the pure disbeliever. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Like Allah the Most High, He says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَرِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That indeed the hypocrites, they're in the lowest level of the hellfire. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَرِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That indeed the hypocrites, they're in the lowest level of the fire. So just as the Jannah is darajat, the Jahannam is darakat. Just as the Jannah is levels that rise and go high upwards in loftiness and elevation, the hellfire is levels likewise that go downwards. And that the lowest level at dark at asfal is the level of the munafiqeen, meaning even lower than the disbelievers. The pure disbelievers, they're higher than the munafiqeen, because the munafiqun are and the dark at asfal, are in the lowest level of the hellfire. So this is a very beautiful means of clarifying the truth. The one who applies the tawheed outwardly, but he does not understand it, and he does not believe it in his heart, then he's a munafiq. And the munafiq is more worse and more evil than the pure disbeliever. Because Allah, He says that the munafiqun are in the lowest level of the fire. So the one in the lowest level of the fire means that there are individuals who are above them in the fire. So the pure disbeliever, who is an apparent disbeliever, is even higher than the munafiq. And this is the point here, the dangers of hypocrisy. So he says, وَهَذِهِ مَسْأَلَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ طَوِيلَةٌ. And this is a long, major issue. This is a long, major issue. تَبِينُ لَكَ إِذَا تَأَمَّلْتَهَا تَبِينُ لَكَ إِذَا تَأَمَّلْتَهَا فِي أَلْسِنَةِ النَّاسِ. It will become clear for you if you ponder and think about it deeply on the tongues of the people. تَرَى مَنْ يَعْرِفُ الْحَقَّ وَيَتْرُكُ الْعَمَلَ بِهِ لِخَوْفِ نَقْسِ دُنْيَاهُ أَوْ جَاهِهِ أَوْ مُلْكِهِ أَوْ مُدَارَاتٍ. You will find a person who knows the truth, but he will abandon the application of that. He will not apply it out of fear of losing out in his worldly life, or in his honor and reputation, or in his possessions or authority, or out of mudarat. Mudarat here, what is intended is mudahana, out of compromising in the religion, making compromise in the religion. وَتَرَى مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِهِ ظَاهِرًا لَا بَاطِنًا فَإِذَا سَأَلْتَهُ عَمَّا يَعْتَقِدُهُ بِقَلْبِهِ إِذَا هُوَ لَا يَعْرِفُهُ. And you will see someone who applies the tawheed outwardly but not inwardly. He applies the tawheed outwardly but not inwardly. Outwardly meaning on the statements and in some of the actions, but not inwardly, meaning not in his heart and his creed and belief. He says, and if you ask him, what does he believe in his heart? Then you will find out that he does not even know. Then you will find out that he does not even know. If you ask some of them, what does it mean? Al-Imanu Billah. You believe in Allah? Yes, I believe in. What does that mean? Some of them, they do not even know. Oh, I believe in that Allah, He's the creator. I believe that no one has the ability to control the creation but Allah. I believe that there's no creator except for Allah, and they'll suffice with that. And they'll suffice with that. And they'll think that this is the tawheed that is sufficient and the proper understanding of the religion. And we have seen from the very introduction of this work that that's the very creed of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Abd al-Muttalib and the likes, that they believe likewise that Allah, He's the creator. And they believe likewise that Allah, He sends the rain from the skies. But this belief did not enter them into the fold of al-Islam. And this belief did not save them from the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no doubt this belief is an obligation, but it must be applied by making the religion sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. So some people, they know the truth, but that which prohibits them from applying it is because they are afraid. They're afraid if they apply it properly, that they will lose out on their worldly life, that they'll lose some of their authority. They'll have, for example, positions of leadership. And if they follow the truth and leave what their people are upon, they may lose that position of leadership. Or they will have some wealth or property and the likes like this. And they are afraid that if they were to apply the truth that they know and abide by that in opposition to the customs of the people where they're at, that they will lose out in their property or in their wealth or in their business. Or they will miss out in some worldly affairs, or the people will talk bad about them and not like them anymore and censor them and blame them and call them names. And they're afraid for this affair. Or they will simply just compromise with them in order to go along with them so that they can continue to have their position and status, or so that they will not have any problems. So that they will not have any problems any with the people in their society. With the people in their society. So this is something that is very apparent and very well known, that some people, they turn away from the truth and they do not apply it after learning it and knowing it and realizing it and believing in it in general. and believing in it and genuinely seeing the reality of the truth that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that devoting actions of worship to other than Allah is falsehood and not allowed. But that which will prohibit them from doing that is a number of affairs. From that is ignorance. Not just mere simple ignorance. Ignorance that is based upon rejecting and turning away from the truth. Rejecting and turning away from the truth. Having no care or concern for learning the truth. They will turn away from learning and turn away from listening to the beneficial knowledge. Allah, He mentions in His book, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْحَقِّ فَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Rather, the majority of them, they do not know the truth. So therefore, they turn away and in opposition. They turn away and they aren't in opposition. And they turn away from learning the truth. They turn away from listening to the people of truth. And therefore, they remain in ignorance, which is in contradiction and opposition to the truth. So this is a type of ignorance that will not be excused, because it's based upon al-i'rad and al-haq. It's based upon turning away from learning the truth. Al-i'rad and ta'allum al-haq, based upon turning away and abandoning learning, turning away from the truth, turning away from learning the truth and not having concern for that. Likewise, al-khawf min fawati hadhi min hudud ad-dunya. Also, some people, they will reject the truth and in application after realizing the reality of that, out of fear that they will lose some portion from the worldly life, that they'll lose their position or their status or their authority, and they'll lose their leadership, or they'll lose some money, they'll lose their job, they'll lose their business, or they will lose their wife or their woman and the likes like this. All of these are from the reasons that cause a person to abandon the application of the truth after realizing the obligation of following it. And this is from the whispers and the calls of the devil. Allah, He says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. That indeed this is only from the devil, these whispers and this call to fear. To fear, yani the loss of these affairs. This is only from the devil. He's trying to scare and terrify those who follow him. And likewise, that which will turn the people away from applying the truth after realizing the obligation of following it, حب الدنيا من رئاسة ومال ومرأة وما إلى ذلك. The love of the worldly life. Having love of the worldly life in a manner that a person, he will show preference to the worldly life. استحب الكفر على الإيمان. استحب الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة. They show preference to the worldly life over the hereafter. He's afraid, again, of losing his worldly life, losing his position, losing his leadership, losing some money, losing a woman, or the likes like this. Some of them, they do not want to stop drinking alcohol, so they will not accept the truth after they realize it. Some of them, they don't want to stop having birthday parties. They don't want to stop having this or stop having that. They hold fast to the customs and the ways of their forefathers, and because of their great love, their love for this way, their love for these customs, their love for this culture, their love for these affairs prohibits them from complying to the truth that they see and realize. Also from those affairs as well, التقليد العام, blind following the forefathers. They say, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَى أَثَارِهِمْ لَمُقْتَدُونَ. That indeed we found our forefathers upon a path, a methodology and way, and we're following their footsteps precisely. So from the reasons that would turn a person away from applying the truth after realizing it is blind following and having attachment to the ways of the forefathers. And also from those affairs as well, al-kibr, arrogance and pride. And this is the reason that Iblis, he rejected the truth, what he knows. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Also from the things that will prohibit a person from applying the truth that he knows and turning away and abandoning the truth in application is al-ujuba wal-wurur bin-nafs, to be amazed with oneself, to be amazed with oneself and amazed with the knowledge one has, and to think that they are self-sufficient and they are so clever and bright, they don't need to follow the guidance of the prophets and messengers, and they're pleased with what they're upon. Allah, He says, فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, that they are rejoicing over that which they have from knowledge. And they will suffice with that. They will think that they're too clever or too smart or too bright, or especially in these days whenever they have reached a high level of knowledge and technology and in science and the likes like this, they will be arrogant and they will be proud and boastful, and they'll be self-amazed, and this will prohibit them from complying to the truth that they see and realize, that they see and realize. Also from their fears that would turn people away, that would turn one away from applying the truth and cause him to abandon the tawheed. Well, he knows al-ghulu fil matbu'i wal mahbub, that a person, he will go to extremes in his leaders and those whom he loves. He will go to extremes in loving someone to the extent that he will abandon the truth that he knows, out of fear of losing the loved one, or because he will follow a person to this extent. He will raise an individual and consider him his leader and imam or his sheikh and the likes like this, and he will realize the truth, but out of his great love for that person, he will not apply it. Out of the great love for that person, he will not apply it. Also from these affairs, and they're known as as-sawarif an al-haq, or as-sawarif an al-tawhidi, or al-amali bil-tawhidi, the things that would turn a person away from applying the truth and complying in application to the tawhid, al-hasad, jealousy and envy. This is from the affairs that the Jews, they were tried with. And also Iblis before them, he was tried with that as well. And it's been mentioned from a man, his name is Talha An-Namiri. He said to Musaylama al-Kadhab, we've been discussing the issue of this person for some time, and he was the one who claimed that he was a prophet. And he was from the tribe of Banu Hanifa, and their lineage goes back to Rabi'ah. From the tribes of the Arab. So Talha, he went to Musaylama al-Kadhab, and they're from the same tribe. They're from the tribe of Rabi'ah. Their lineage goes back to the same tribe. So he says, "What do you say?" And he says, "This and this and this." So he says, "You know you're a liar, and I know you're a liar. Anta kadhab." He said, "You're a liar, and I know you're a liar." So he's telling his tribesmen, Musaylama, that he's a liar. And it's very clear that he's a liar. And then he mentioned the issue here that we're discussing. He says, وَكَذَّبُ رَبِيعَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ صَادِقِ مُضَرٍ. He says that a liar from Rabi'a, from my tribe, is more beloved to me than someone who is truthful from the tribe of Mudar. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his lineage goes back to Mudar. So he's saying that, although I know you're a liar, you're a filthy liar, but liars from my tribe are more beloved to me than the truthful and honest from other tribes. So it's his jealousy and his envy that he has for these other tribes, and his stubborn rebellion to follow the truth, and he holding on to the ways of his forefathers, and his arrogance and pride. Al-hamiyya wa ta'asub. Also, this is another reason as well. Al-hamiyya wa ta'asub. And this is the one where any stubborn blind following and tribalism and the likes like this. And from the greatest reasons that will stop a person from applying and abiding by the truth once they realize it, and that which gathers all of these affairs, is ittiba'u al-hawa, following desires, following one's whims and desires in opposition to the truth. The author, he says, rahimahullah, walakin alayka bifahmi ayatayni min kitabillahi ta'ala, but you must understand two verses from the book of Allah the Most High. أولاهما ما تقدم وهي قوله لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. أولاهما, the first of these two verses, ما تقدم, and that which has preceded, وهي قوله, and it is the statement of Allah the Most High, لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. Do not make any excuse. You have disbelieved after your faith. He says, فَإِذَا تَحَقَّقْتَ أَنَّ بَعْضَ الصَّحَابَةِ الَّذِينَ غَزَوْا الرُّومَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَفَرُوا بِسَبَبِ كَلِمَةٍ قَالُوهَا فِي غَزْوَةِ تَبُوكَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْمَزْحِ وَاللَّعِبِ تَبَيَّنَ لَكَ أَنَّ الَّذِي يَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكُفْرِ أَوْ يَعْمَلُ بِهِ خَوْفًا مِنْ نَقْصِ مَالٍ أو جاه أو مداراة لأحد أعظم ممن يتكلم بكلمة يمزح بها. So if you realize this now, that some of the companions, those who went on the excursion to battle, Rome with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They disbelieved because of a statement that they made in the battle of Tabuk, and they made that statement from the aspect of joking and playing. Then it will become clear to you that the one who states a statement of disbelief, or he applies an action of disbelief out of fear of losing some wealth or losing some reputation, or because he is compromising with some people, trying to please them and make them happy, then this one is greater. This one is more severe and greater than the one who spoke a statement of disbelief while he's only joking and playing. So this is a story that has preceded, and this is well known. Those individuals, they were from the Munafiqun. And this is something that is well known. But at this time, they had the outward judgment of Al-Islam, because the Munafiqun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had outwardly announced Al-Islam, and this was accepted from them. The outward apparent issue was accepted from them. And in the fact that they claimed that they're Muslims outwardly, this was accepted from them. And that which was in their hearts was entrusted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this manner, they were saving their honor and reputation, or they're saving their wealth and their position in the society, and so on and so forth, by outwardly claiming to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while inwardly they did not believe. So from this aspect, outwardly they're considered at this time from the companions, and they're considered likewise from the Muslims of those days, along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for that which is in their heart, then this was not apparent, and that which they were judged based upon was what they displayed. So outwardly they are considered from the companions until that which was in their hearts was displayed in the battle of Tabuk. This statement is well known. لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. Do not make any excuse. You have disbelieved after your faith. And these were those individuals from the hypocrites. They're on their way back from this excursion, and one of them, they're talking bad about the Prophet and his companions. They said that these people here, they are the greatest cowards, and likewise they're only worried about their stomach, and they lie more than anyone else. And whenever we get back to Medina, we're going to kick them out. And whenever this reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came and they tried to make excuses, and they say, Innama kunna nakhudu wa nal'ab. We're just delving around, we're just passing the time, we're just laughing and joking, we're not serious. And then the verses were revealed, لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. Is it Allah and the verses of Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you're mocking and joking about? That you're mocking and laughing about? Do not make any excuse. You have disbelieved after your faith. So now the ruling of disbelief was made against them because they outwardly displayed disbelief. So someone should not say, oh, this is specific with regards to the hypocrites. La, this is the issue that we're discussing, because outwardly their Islam was accepted, and they're considered from the companions, and they're on the excursion and going through the battles and fighting along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and disbelief was not ruled against them until they made this statement. So therefore, disbelief is ruled against the one who makes the statement of disbelief. And from the statements of disbelief is to mock and to laugh about the religion and the deen of Allah and the verses of Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make a mockery of these affairs. We have seen this before. So the outward judgment of ruling was made against them whenever they made this statement that they claim they're only joking about. So the author, he's saying now, so even more rightful than someone who made a statement of disbelief. Someone who made a statement of disbelief while he's just hoping to save his position in his society, while he's hoping to just save his leadership, or to save some money, or to save some reputation, or so that people won't talk bad about him or call him names and the likes like this, or think bad about him, so on and so forth. So the one who says it for this reason, and more rightful that he would disbelieve because of that statement. More rightful that he would disbelieve because of that statement. And he showed these people here, who are outwardly considered from the companions, disbelieve if they joke around about the religion and mock the deen. But these individuals here who joke around or mock their religion, for example, only to save their, only to save face, or only to save their position of leadership, or only to have some money, or so people will like them and not talk bad about them, or consider them outcasts and the likes like this, will not say that they're Wahhabis, so on and so forth. No, they're more rightful that the ruling of disbelief will be made against them. This is the point of the author, rahimahullah. Well, ayatul thaniya, in the second verse, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, the statement of Allah the Most High, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَا وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا. He mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever disbelieved in Allah after his belief, except him who is forced thereto and whose heart is at rest with faith. And his heart is at rest with faith. But such as open their breast to disbelief, on them is the wrath of Allah, and theirs will be a great torment. فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So now the author is mentioning the verse which is in Surah An-Ni'am. مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ, the one who disbelieved in Allah after his faith, and after he has believed. So therefore, again, to clarify that a person could enter into the fold of al-Iman and then after that later disbelief. How would that disbelief occur? Or what is this issue called? The one who enters into the fold of al-Islam and then after that he disbelieves, what is this called? He's called al-Ridda. And the one who does it, he's called Murtad. Ahsan, this issue is called al-Ridda. And in the chapters of fiqh, we have seen they have bab hukm al-murtad, or bab ahkam al-riddah, the chapter with regards to the ruling of the apostate, or the rulings related to apostasy. So this is apostasy. And we have seen that apostasy, it has four great principles of how it occurs. And that is that it occurs by a statement that is in contradiction and entirety to al-Islam, or by an action that is in contradiction and entirety to al-Islam, or by a belief and creed that is in contradiction and entirety to al-Islam, or by a doubt that is in contradiction and entirety to al-Islam. So these are the means to apostate. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ, and it's not required to fall into all of them, rather one of them is sufficient. These here, those individuals who were along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they made a statement of disbelief, and the ruling of disbelief was made against them based upon that statement, even if they claimed in their heart they believe, even if they claimed they're not serious with what they said, they're only joking. إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ, we're just joking around, we're just playing. لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ. So this is not an excuse that is accepted. This is not an excuse that is accepted. So this is the point now. All of these issues they have preceded, but now to summarize and to emphasize, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ, the one who disbelieved in Allah after his faith, meaning that this can occur. How can it occur? It will occur by way of statement, action, or creed. Statement, action, or creed. Also, from the issue of the creed is doubts. You need to emphasize the affair. So this is going back to what we're discussing now, that tawheed, it must be in the heart, on the tongue, and in application, on the body parts and limbs. It must be applied in the heart and on the tongue, and also on the body parts and the limbs. These verses here, they clarify this. So whoever disbelieve in Allah after his faith, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, except for the one who is coerced, except for the one who is forced, to disbelieve, while his heart is tranquil and at ease with sincere faith. So how could someone be coerced to disbelief while his heart is tranquil and at ease with sincere faith? He will have to say a statement of disbelief or do of disbelief. You understand? So the one who is exempted here from this ruling, he is not considered disbelieving after his faith, is the one who's coerced, al-ikrah. Al-ikrah is when someone is forced against their will, is forced physically against their will. But here the condition along with that is that their heart is tranquil and at ease with sincere faith. So the sincere faith is in their heart and residing there and has not left and is established. Is residing there and is established. But they're forced beyond their will to make the statement of disbelief or to do an action of disbelief. So this is a clarification that a person, he would disbelieve by way of statement or by way of action, or likewise by way of a creed. Because Allah is mentioning that there are people, they would disbelieve after they had believed. They would disbelieve after they had believed. How would they disbelieve after believing? By having a creed that is contrary. By having a creed that is contrary. This is clear. إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ. So the one who his heart is not satisfied and content with faith, then he would be a disbeliever. He would be a disbeliever. The one who is excused is the one who his heart is sound and at content and at ease with sincere faith while he's being forced to make a statement or action of disbelief. While he's being forced to make a statement or action of disbelief. We understand the aspect of proof now? So therefore, disbelief, it occurs by way of statement or by way of action or by way of creed. And no one is excused from that except for someone who has two conditions. And that is someone who is coerced beyond his will, and he's forced, and he's made to make a statement or action of disbelief while his heart is tranquil and at ease with sincere faith. While his heart is tranquil and at ease with sincere faith. You understand? Because you cannot force someone to have a creed or belief. That's in the heart. That's in the heart. But you can't force someone to do something against their will. You can force someone to say something against their will. You can force someone to do something against their will. But you cannot force someone to believe something against their will. Someone cannot say, believe that Jesus is God. And they say, okay, I believe. Like that. But believe that Jesus is the Lord. Believe that Jesus is the Lord. Right? If somebody has put a gun to someone's head and said, you better believe Jesus is the Lord. Right? Can he force him to believe? He can say, Jesus is the Lord. Okay, Jesus is the Lord. He might say that. Right? He said, okay, prostrate before the cross. Okay, prostrate before the cross. But in his heart, can he coerce him? Can he force him to truly believe in his heart that Jesus is the Lord? No, he can't do that. The heart cannot be coerced. You understand this part? So this is a very important discussion now. Very important point in discussion that he's mentioning. مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا. But the one who would disbelieve is the one who becomes at ease. Yani he entertains the disbelief. And he follows that. And he prefers that. You know, his heart is open to disbelief and accepts disbelief. And therefore rejecting the faith, then this is the one. فَعَلَيْهِ غَلَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَعَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is the one who the anger of Allah will be upon him. And a great punishment. So therefore, it's seen here that the ruling of disbelief is applied to anyone who has the creed of disbelief or a statement of disbelief or an action of disbelief. And no one is exempted from that whatsoever, except for in one case. And the case of that person has two clear conditions. The first one is that he is coerced physically beyond his will to say or do something that is contrary to the religion. Any that is considered a statement or action of disbelief, all the while his heart is at ease and his heart is at peace and at rest with sincere faith. With sincere faith. And he detests and dislikes what he's doing, and he would never say that nor do that had he not been forced or coerced. Whenever we say al-ikrah, someone who's forced beyond his will, meaning someone who is threatened with his life by someone who has the ability and ready to take his life. And ready to take his life, or by someone who is threatening the life of his family or loved ones, and they have the ability, and they are there. Not by saying, oh, if I don't say it, or if I don't do it, I'm going to lose my job. Or she's not going to talk to me anymore. Or she's not going to let me touch her anymore. Like this. This is not called ikrah. This is not called coercion. He's not coerced. And you can't say, oh, well, if I don't do it, I'm going to lose my job. If I don't do it, then she's going to want a divorce. If I don't do it, they're going to call me names. If I don't do it, they're not going to like me anymore. If I don't do it, my mom's going to be mad at me. Like this. Nah, this is not considered coercion. This is not considered coercion. The one that is coercion, that is an excuse here, is whenever a person is afraid of his life. And he meaning, for example, someone put a gun to his head. Or someone put a gun to his child. And someone is threatening his child. And the likes like this. You couldn't be like, you know, if you don't do it, I'm going to slap you in the face. Right? Say Jesus is Lord, or I'm going to slap you. we're going to see what happens if you do that then. Right? You have to be ready to just take that one. But if he pulled out a gun and he says Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Somebody can say that. Oh, Jesus, calm down. Right? You tell him calm down. Then this is allowed for him. This is the one that we're talking about. This is the one that while we know that Jesus is not Lord. Right? While we know that Jesus is not Lord. Alhamdulillah. This is lawful in the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is lawful in the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is clear now. Again, to emphasize that disbelief occurs in these ways. A person, he will enter into the fold of Islam and he could apostate and leave because of a statement that he makes, or because of an action that he does, or because of a creed in his heart, or because of doubts that are in contradiction and contrary to Islam in entirety. In entirety. And you don't have to do all of them. It suffices one of them. It suffices one of them. The only circumstance where there is an excuse is in the case of the one who is forced beyond his will. We've seen what that means, while his heart is content with sincere faith. So he says, Rahimahullah, فَلَمْ يَعْذَرِ اللَّهُ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ مَعَ كَوْنِ قَلْبِهِ مُطْمَئِنًا بِالْإِيمَانِ. So Allah, he did not excuse anyone from these people, any from disbelief, except for the one who is forced beyond his will while his heart is tranquil with sincere faith. وَأَمَّا غَيْرُ هَذَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ. As for other than that, then he disbelieved after his faith. سَوَاءٌ فَعَلَهُ خَوْفًا أَوْ طَمَعًا أَوْ مُدَارَاةً لِأَحَدٍ أَوْ مَشَاحَةً بِوَطَنِهِ أَوْ أَهْلِهِ أَوْ عَشِيرَتِهِ أَوْ مَالِهِ أَوْ فَعَلَهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْمَزْحِ أَوْ لِغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأَغْرَاضِ إِلَّا الْمُقْرَأِ. So as for other than that, then he disbelieved after his faith. That Allah, he did not excuse these people except for the one who was forced beyond his will while his heart is tranquil and at ease with sincere faith. As for other than this person here in this circumstance, then he disbelieved after his faith and he made apostasy. Regardless of whether he did that out of fear or hoping for some worldly gain or out of compromising with the people, he's saying mudarat here, but the word mudarat, what is intended here is mudahana. It's mudahana. Mudarat is whenever a person, he will flatter and he will be courteous and he'll be nice to people. But whenever you do that while compromising the religion, it's not called mudarat anymore. It's called mudahana. And the people of knowledge, they make a difference between the two. And mudarat is something that is good and it's from the good manners. That a person is nice, a person is courteous, and he says kind and good words and he's easy with the people. And even other times, maybe he will do that with people who are in opposition to him or with people who are in opposition to the truth. But he will do that not with the truth, but with the worldly affair. With the worldly affair. Some person who is a deviant or someone who is misguided, but he has authority and he has power. For example, to smile at him and give him salam because you're afraid if that you oppose him, he's going to kick you out of the masjid or prohibit you from praying in the congregation and the likes like this. Then this is called mudarat. So you give him something from the dunya so you can save the deen. What are you giving him here? A smile and a salam. Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah. Well, you hate this person. He's a person of innovation and he's a deviant. But if you do not smile and give him salam, then he's going to cause major problems for you. So you're not saying that he's upon khair or he's upon goodness, or you're not compromising anything in your religion. You're just smiling and giving him salam and going on about your business. And going on about your business. So you continue to come to the masjid and to call the people and to invite them to the sunnah, so on and so forth. So this is called mudarat. This is called mudarat. You smile, you give up something from the dunya in order to save the deen. In order to save the deen. But compromising in the religion is called mudahana. And this is whenever you give up something from the deen in order to save the dunya. This is what is not allowed. And this is what the author is referring to. So somebody who will violate the rights of the tawheed in order to compromise and be nice with the people. And to flatter the people and to go along with the people so that they like him. so that they like him. This one is not an excuse. This is what he's saying here. So this is not an excuse. So regardless if he did that out of fear, or out of hoping for some worldly status, or of compromising with someone, flattering them, trying to go along with him, or because of great love and preference for his homeland, or for his people, or for his tribesmen, or for his wealth, or whether he said that while he's joking and playing around, or other than that, from the reasons, the only one who is excused except for the one who is forced beyond his will. The one who's forced beyond his will. So he says, "What ayatu tadullu ala hadha min jihatayn?" What ayatu tadullu ala hadha min jihatayn? And this verse here indicates what we're discussing from two aspects. Al-ula qawluhu illa man ukriha. Falam yastathni Allahu illa al-mukra. Falam yastathni Allahu illa al-mukra. So the first aspect of evidence is in the statement of Allah the Most High, except for the one who is forced beyond his will. So Allah did not exempt anyone from this ruling. He did not exempt anyone from this ruling. What is the ruling? Man kafara billahi min ba'di imani. The one who disbelieved in Allah after his faith. Allah, he did not excuse or he did not exempt anyone from this ruling. Illa al-muqra, except for the one who is coerced. Except for the one who is forced beyond his will. وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يُقْرَهُ إِلَّا عَلَى الْعَمَلِ أَوْ الْكَلَامِ. And it is known that a person, he cannot be coerced, he cannot be forced beyond his will except in action or statement. وَأَمَّا عَقِيدَةُ الْقَلْبِ فَلَا يُقْرَهُ أَحَدٌ عَلَيْهَا. As for the creed in the heart, then no one can be forced beyond his will with regards to that. As for the creed in the heart, then no one can be forced beyond his will with regards to that. الثانية قوله تعالى. And the second aspect is a statement of Allah the Most High. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. That is because they loved and preferred the life of this world over the hereafter. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That is because they loved and preferred the life of this world over that of the hereafter, and Allah, he does not guide the people who disbelieve. This is very dangerous here, but the point is to clarify the aspect of proof. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. لِذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ. What is being referred to here? The anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla and this punishment and this ruling of disbelief fell on them. This ruling of disbelief was made upon them, and the judgment of apostasy was made against them. How? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. It's because they loved and they preferred the worldly life over the hereafter. They loved and they preferred the worldly life over the hereafter. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And based upon that, for this reason, leading from that, or stemming from that, is that Allah, he does not guide a disbelieving people. So their preference of their worldly life led them to disbelief. The one who disbelieves based upon this will be a reason for Allah to not guide his heart and to leave him into that which he has chosen and to land him in the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah, he mentions in the verses after this, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ وَسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْغَافِلُونَ. It is they, who are they? الَّذِينَ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا الْآخِرَةِ. Those who preferred the worldly life over the hereafter. They are those whom upon their hearts and hearings and sight Allah has set a seal. These people here that Allah has sealed their hearts and their hearing and their eyes. They're not able to understand and comprehend the truth. They're not able to see and follow the truth. And they're not able to hear the truth in the proper and manner that is beneficial. That is beneficial. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. It is these, they are the heedless. لَا جَرَمَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And no doubt, in the hereafter, they will be the losers. They will be the losers. So the point the author is going to make is very beneficial and very serious and very dangerous. He says, رحمه الله تعالى فصرح أن هذا الكفر والعذاب لم يكن بسبب الاعتقاد والجهل والبغض للدين أو محبة الكفر وإنما سببه أن له في ذلك حظا من حظوظ الدنيا فآثره على الدين والله عالم. So here Allah, he mentioned directly that this disbelief and this punishment that occurred for these people, this disbelief and this punishment that occurred for these people. We're going to go back. مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُقْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِ غَضَبٌ من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم. Whoever disbelieve in Allah after his belief, except him who is forced thereunto and whose heart is at rest with faith, but the one who their hearts are open to disbelief, on them is the wrath of Allah, and theirs will be a great punishment. And they will have a great punishment. So Allah has mentioned directly that this disbelief that occurred from them and the punishment that they will have is not because of a creed in their heart. It's not because of a creed in their heart, nor because of ignorance of the truth, nor because of detest for the religion, nor because they love disbelief, but rather it was because of a portion or share from the worldly life that they showed preference for over the religion. That they showed preference for over the religion. Over the religion meaning over the hereafter. Over the hereafter. You understand that? So here, these people here, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Wow, those who they disbelieved after their faith, they disbelieve in Allah after believing in Allah. How did it occur? What's being referred to specifically in this verse? Specifically in this verse, not people, not the one who hates Islam, not the one who hates Islam and hates Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the one who loves loves Christianity or he loves Judaism or loves Buddhism. This is not what is intended. This is not what caused them to disbelieve after they believed. This is not what caused them to disbelieve after they believe. What caused them to disbelieve after they believe? استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة. There's some, they showed preference, they love, they showed preference to this worldly life over the hereafter. Meaning that they are afraid to lose something from the worldly life. Their status, their rank, their authority, their position, their leadership, their money, their wealth, their business, their job, their reputation, their honor, their respect. And the likes like this, they love that so much, they showed preference to that, and they violated the foundation and rights of at-tawheed. And rights of at-tawheed. And this caused them to disbelieve after they had believed. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. This caused them to disbelieve after they have believed. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The author, he says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And Allah, he knows best. And with this, alhamdulillah, we have completed the treatise of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, كَشْفُ الشُّبُهَاتِ. Revealing the doubts. And we have seen a number of great benefits and points in this particular work, and also the great obligation of at-tawheed. And it's the first obligation, and it's the reason and wisdom from the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the reason for our very life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me alone. Meaning except to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His actions, by His lordship, by His authority and His command, and by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, and that He is alive and He never dies, and that He is the only one who is worthy of worship subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this affair is a major affair and requires great attention and care and concern, and requires learning and dedication and sincerity and honesty in one's faith. And a person has to be concerned with the Tawheed, and he has to learn the Tawheed and learn how to establish the Tawheed, and then likewise learn the things that invalidate and contradict the Tawheed from its very foundation, as well as those affairs that not necessarily invalidate the Tawheed from its foundation, but that which will bring weakness to the Tawheed, and that which will bring deficiency to the Tawheed. This Tawheed, it must be preserved, it must be protected, it must be kept good. A person, he must strive, and he must realize what it requires and necessitates to establish the Tawheed. So someone may believe in the Tawheed and apply the Tawheed, but if he did not understand it properly, it will not benefit him. And from that which we find in these days specifically, and in general, the people have problems with regards to, and in reality is a great focal point and aim for the enemies of Al-Islam, is al-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi, to free oneself from paganism and its people. That from the obligations of a tawheed and from the correctness of the religion, number one is that we must believe that none is worthy of worship except for Allah, and that everything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood. The great importance of al-kufr bil-tawut, to disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah. Because if not, we will not be Muslims. We are not a Muslim until we make the statement, La ilaha illallah. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Some people, they worship Allah And they know the Tawheed in general, but if you ask them, what about the Jews? What about the Christians? You say, you know, I don't like to delve into, I don't like to argue with the people. Let them do what they do. Or even some of them, they go further. They say, oh, they're our brothers. They're our brothers. They're our brothers, and they're going to Jannah. What do you have to be lying? They don't reject these affairs. They do not reject these affairs. So to believe in Allah, we must reject and deny and disbelieve and everything that's contrary. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. So it's not sufficient to believe in Allah. Rather, one, he must believe in Allah, and along with that, disbelieve in the Tawhid. Disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah, from every aspect. To believe that that's falsehood. To believe that Christianity is falsehood in a foul way. It's lies, and it's not good, and it's not proper, nor is it correct. And those who follow it, and they die upon that, what do you have to be now? They are from the dwellers of the hellfire, and they will never leave. And likewise, that Judaism is a religion of falsehood, and it's not accepted. And it's not accepted, and it's not a proper and good way. And likewise, paganism and all of its different ways, Buddhism and Taoism, and Wiccanism, all of this is falsehood. And all of this is falsehood and not accepted. Rather, we even go further than that. We will say Naqshbandiya is falsehood, and Tijaniya is falsehood, and Jailani, and all these different turuq, and the turuq al-Sufiyya, this is all falsehood. Ar-Rafdha with Shiism, this is falsehood in a foul way. In a lowly way, and contrary to Al-Islam, contrary to Al-Islam. Some of it is contrary from its very foundation, and others bring great deficiency to the Shahada. What do you have to believe? Others, maybe they're lesser than major disbelief, but they're still deviation in a major manner. Deviation in a major manner. So one, he must believe in Allah. He must believe in Allah. Must believe in Allah, meaning believe in the Lordship of Allah. Allah, He's our Lord. Allah, He's our Rabb. Allah, He created us. Allah, He brought us into existence. Allah, He provides for our eyes. Allah, He provides for our hearing. Allah, He is our Lord. Allah, He is the one who we worship. Allah, He is the one who deserves worship. Worshipping anyone besides Allah, this is falsehood. This is a foul and lowly way. This is contrary to the sound mind from every aspect. Allah, He created you. Allah, He provides you. Allah, He sustained you. Allah, He protects you. Allah, He cures you. Allah, He heals you. Whenever you call on Him, He answers you. And then you worship somebody else. Are you crazy? You worship somebody else. Are you crazy? You lost your mind? عَظَمُ ذَنْبٍ إِنَّ اللَّهِ عَزَ وَجَلَ أَنْ تَجْعَلِ اللَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ. The greatest crime and sin with Allah is that you set up a rival and appear and worship Allah and worship someone besides Allah, direct any aspect of worship to anyone besides Allah, while Allah, He created you. While Allah, He created you. So we must believe in Allah, and this requires for us to disbelieve in the Tawhid and to separate ourselves from shirk and paganism. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمَنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينِ. So we must free ourselves from shirk and paganism in every aspect and from His people and believe in Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and comply to that in obedience. Al-istislamu lillahi bil-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bil-ta'a wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. This is the reality of Al-Islam. We ask Allah from His grace and His mercy to make us Muslims, good Muslims, those who follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inwardly and outwardly. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, next week we'll begin reading in the work by Sheikh Abdul Razak Ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Badr Hafidhum Allahu Ta'ala, a hadith fi islahi al-qulub, narrations about rectifying the hearts, about rectifying the hearts. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.